You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. Super excited and honored for today's guest. Christy Whitman is a New York Times best-selling author and transformational leader. She's appeared on the Today Show, The Morning Show, TEDx, and the Hallmark Channel. Her work has been featured in numerous publications and magazines. Christy teaches the Law of Attraction, Energy Mastery, and Personal Development classes, meditations, and private sessions to help clients feel more aligned with the divine design of well-being, abundance, and success. She is currently living in sunny Arizona with her husband and her two boys, and I'm excited to welcome her to Making Bank today.
Thank you so much, Josh. Happy to be with you.
For sure, and that's awesome. We got three kids, but two of them are boys as well, so they're fun. They're twins, so.
They're 10 and 12. They're 16 months apart. So this is the okay. time of the year where they're, you know, two years apart, but they're normally, yep. you know, 6 months of the year. So yeah, it's like having, what do they call that? Irish twins.
Right.
So, yeah. It's a lot of boy energy. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Well, so tell us a little bit about your background, what got you started in all this. I know there might be only like a small percentage of the audience out there that doesn't know who you are, but let's get them up to speed and then excited to dive into some awesome stuff that you have.
Yeah. So, I found myself at age 25 where I had graduated college. I moved to Chicago to, you know, start my career. I was born and raised in Arizona. And I became very successful, and I was, you'll love this. When I was young and right out of college, I sold liquor for a living. And so I would go to bars and restaurants, and my job literally was to go at night to bars, and they would have Seagram's parties and, you know, sure. Absolute parties and things like that. And by day I was going into golf courses and restaurants, and I was selling liquor. And I quickly got promoted to a wine company, and I had a lot of responsibility, was making bank. I mean, just, you know, the whole thing. But I didn't find myself happy. I felt very unfulfilled. And it was a point in my life where I accomplished everything that I wanted to accomplish. I achieved everything I wanted to achieve, at least at that point. But it felt empty. And so for me, I really was seeking like, what is going to fulfill me? Because I'm making great money and that's not fulfilling me. I'm, you know, got the career, I've got, you know, the money in the bank, the whole thing. None of this is fulfilling me. And for me, I needed a deeper sense of connection and fulfillment. And what led me on a series of, you know, rearranging some things in my life where I moved to Northern California, and I met a meditation teacher. And she said something to me. And again, this is like right, internet wasn't what it is now 25 years ago, right? And you can't go searching for the meaning of life on the internet right. 25 years ago. So she said to me something I had never heard before, but when she said it to me, it absolutely changed my life. And it has to this day. She said, "You create your own reality." Mm. And when she said that, I was like, yes, how? My mind kicked in. And she said, "You're either repelling things from you or attracting things to you based on the way you think." Now, that was another like, you know, wow, way I think. I mean, I knew I could change my mind. I don't want to go here. Sure. I want to go there. I want to, you know, but to actually change my thoughts. I mean, that was that moment of what? My thoughts aren't real. Like my thoughts are not right, like necessarily correct or right or true. And so she gave me an assignment to just process for the next week, watching my thoughts, paying attention to my thoughts. And I couldn't believe how negative I was. No wonder, how much money I made or what I accomplished. If I was constantly beating myself, condemning myself, judging myself, criticizing myself, and it wasn't just me, it was like drivers on the road, my parents, God, the universe, like all that exists. It was this very critical, negative thought pattern. And what I learned at that time, which is really relevant for your audience, is that, you know, there's a huge difference between a lack mentality and an abundance mentality. And what I drew to me then, because I had to go searching for it and I was attracting it to me, is what I now understand to be the law of sufficiency and abundance. They're universal laws that exist. And this particular law is that, you know, everything in the universe, there's evidence of abundance. I mean, even if you look at us as a human being and how many trillions of cells we have in our bodies, how many breaths we take, how many times our heart beats, you know, it's evidence of abundance every single day, all day within us. And when we look at it as a spectrum, no matter what subject we're on, say it's money or success, right? We have on one side of the spectrum, there's lack, and on the other side of the spectrum, there's abundance. And there's a tipping point in the middle, which is satisfaction. Because a lot of times you can't go from thinking thoughts of lack all the way over to thinking thoughts of abundance. So there's that tipping point of satisfaction where you're looking for the positive aspects in your life. You're in a place of gratitude and appreciation for what is, but getting excited for what's coming. Because if you're wanting to create more money, if you're wanting to make bank, you cannot have your consciousness around money being in lack. Because I mean, I coach top athletes and celebrities, and I have seen a lot of them make a lot of money, and still, because they came from a place where they didn't grow up with having money, they didn't have that security with money, they're constantly worrying and fearing about money. And you could see that happens to celebrities, like Kenny Rogers is one. He was constantly worrying about money, and then earned all this money, but because what was underneath, he lost all of his money.
Right.
He actually went broke again, right? And then he was able to get it back. But his mentality had to shift because it's all about vibration. If you're in lack, you cannot attract and create abundance if you're constantly in worry, fret, fear about money. And as we shift our energy, as we shift our mindset from lack to abundance, we then see evidence of it. We feel better. You know, we feel more confident. We're more open to more creative ideas that will continue to help us create more money. And when we're in lack, we feel bad. We close down in our energy field. We close down in our creativity. We just don't feel good. So the Cliff Note version is that lack always feels bad and abundance always feels good. And the better you feel, the more you create, the more you're creative, the worse you feel, you know, you just don't have that creativity. You don't have that force of life, that zest for life moving through you. And so it's up to us because we have free will and choice, right? Our consciousness is what we create from. And when we understand that if we're moving out of lack and into abundance, then we create evidence of abundance.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I guess for the people who are listening, like, oh yeah, that's all great. But like, how do they move from kind of that lack to abundance? Cause they've done it so many years, you know, like that negative or that lack, and they're just so comfortable in that space to move even halfway, you know, to abundance. I guess, what does that look like?
Well, you know, our consciousness, what we're really doing is shifting our consciousness. And what is our consciousness? It's what we say. It's our language, how we think, our thoughts, our perspective, which could be our beliefs, our expectations, right? Our emotions, feelings, and then the actions that we take. That's our consciousness when you break it down into those five things. So the place to start is always watching your words. I mean, there are words and phrases that we say that don't even realize just pull us down into negativity and to lack versus words that are more expansive and more creative. And I'll give an example. When you say, I can't do that, right? The word can't is one that just absolutely, it shuts off all creation, all possibilities. So when you hear yourself saying, I can't, we need to shift it to something like, I will, I'm going to, I'm excited to, I'm looking forward to. As a matter of fact, and I'll give a gift to all of your listeners, people would ask me all this all the time, Josh, like, how do you start working with law of sufficiency and abundance to literally shift your mindset? And I always say it's about watching your words, because our words are creative. When you think about what a thought is, it's a series of words, right? And our thoughts over and over then create our perspective and our beliefs, which then create our emotions, which then we either take action or we don't. So everything starts with our words. And I created a free video program called Watch Your Words. You could go to watchyourwords.com. And it's a 30-day video program that tells you the words and the phrases that you absolutely need to release from your vocabulary because it's rooted in lack, why, and then what to say instead. So I'll give another quick example. Like during the pandemic, right, I was hearing everybody from next door neighbors to celebrities to, you know, athletes to my kids, my husband, myself saying, I miss, right? I miss going to a sporting event. I miss going and getting a pedicure. I miss going out to dinner. And when we say I miss, yes, that might be the state that we're in. But when we say I miss, the perspective is that we've lost something. We can't have something. And then we feel bad. So I was noticing we have to change our perspective to I'm looking forward to, right? And there was a moment where I was like, God, I miss going on a date with my husband. And I said that to him and I go, let's go on a date. You know, so we, even though the kids were home and the dog was home, we went in the park and just sat and, you know, connected with each other. And that was like our little COVID date. And at that time is like, I really look forward instead of I miss. I really look forward to having a real date where we can go to a restaurant. But then it became creative. It became like, ooh, of all the restaurants in Scottsdale, where would we want to go, right? When everything opens up. And we started talking back and forth about the restaurants. And then we're like, ooh, yeah, let's go to Ocean 44. Okay, now we're going to go there. Do we want to go just ourselves or with friends? What friends are we going to go with, right? And then I took it to the next level of like, ooh, what am I going to wear? You know, because I get all excited about that. But it became something we created together, something to, in a very, you know, crazy time, we were looking forward to it. And when the restaurant opened, you know, we called, got a reservation, and we had that experience. But if we, oh, I miss doing that. Life sucks right now. Mm-hmm. We can't do anything.
Sure.
You know, it changes your mood, and it also changes what you create. And money is just green energy. So when you understand, are you attracting the energy to you or are you repelling it from you? You start to pay attention because if you are saying things like can't and miss at the words that you're using, that repels money from you if you are in lack.
No, I think that's huge. It's one of the things I know we've always taught our kids kind of growing up is eliminate the word can't and, you know, you can figure out a way, you know, and replace that with something that's going to move you forward, not away from and, you know, and towards it. So I think that's how you say things and the vocabulary around how you're utilizing it is super important. And I mean, I know even too, as like you were mentioned, you know, through the whole COVID and all stuff like that. And I mean, we're just like, look, we didn't really change anything. And you know, with what we did and we didn't look like, oh, well, we can't go do this. We just still went and did it.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you find one or two places that are open, you go there and
exactly.
You know, you still continue with it and you can't stop life. You can't stop everything with what you're doing. You just need to figure out another way around to do it and to get, you know, where you want to go with that.
Exactly.
So I think that's super important and everything that you brought up. And I know you have recently released a new book, The Desire Factor, How to Embrace Your Materialistic Nature and Reclaim Your Full Spiritual Power. So I think that's super cool. Kind of give us the kind of the background behind that and, you know, the focus with it and everything.
Yeah, so this book really is a permission for everybody to have their own desires because, you know, there's three things that happen when you receive a desire. And I say receive a desire because most of us get the idea of a desire and we either go, yes. And then we're like, I'm going to move. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to create that. Right. So we move into action. We move into something or the idea comes, the desire is there, but then no action is taken. And it just like the energy just dissipates. It kind of loses its, you know, excitement, it loses its luster and it just kind of dissipates. Or we get excited about it, but then go, who am I to do that? I don't know how to do that. Too many other people are doing that. We talk ourselves out of it. So that's one aspect of the book is understanding where desires come from in that law of sufficiency and abundance conversation that we just had. You know, like, can you achieve that desire? Well, if you've been given that desire, you've been given from a higher experience of energy, power, you know, God self, whoever you want to call it, that has been given to you for you to expand, for you to grow. And when we follow the desire, yes, the human being part of us gets to have the bigger house or the cool car or the family or the bigger business or the money in the bank or whatever it is that we desire, the vacations, whatever. We get to go along for the experience, but it's who we become in the process of attaining those desires is what really does juice us and obviously what the divine is after. And that's important to understand. And also to the fact that there's a lot of people that negate some of the things that they desire, whether it's a bigger bank account or whatever it is, because they think, well, that's too materialistic. Mm. And it's really a permission to understand that everything is energy. We now know this from modern science. We know this from quantum physics. Crack open an atom, there's energy in there. And so we are energy. Everything is energy. Money is energy. And that when we understand that because something is material, like money, right, it's not bad. And yet right. So many people don't even realize they have such split energy on subjects such as money, because when you really think about it, most of us, and I said, I always say, like, Josh, I think they wanted to, like, just mess with us, whoever they were. But back before you and I were ever born, the Bible comes out that says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil, right? And yet everybody agrees we need this thing called money. So am I supposed to like this thing called money? Because if I like it or love it, now it's the root of all evil. So it's like there's such a tug in people that most people aren't even aware of, that they go for money and then they sabotage themselves because they don't want to have too much, because then that mean I'm greedy and I don't want to be greedy. And, you know, and even just like in their households, right? I know I had split energy just with my mom, my dad. My mom thought that people that had money, they're the greatest people in the world. And yet my dad always condemned all the people that had money, even though he made great money. So it was like this split. Do I make it or don't I? Who do I be loyal to? Sure. Right. And so that I had to reconcile that split within myself, because I always would make it and then I would get in debt. I'd make it and I'd get in debt. And it was just this constant, you know, really dysfunctional relationship that I had with money because of that split that I had. And so when we realize that everything is energy, in which the desire factor really explains how it's energy and how something gets created and how we, you know, attract opportunities and situations and experiences to ourselves, well, then we get to be masterful of our own energy and not be a victim to. We get to be masterful instead of being mastered by it.
No, I think that's huge. And so, you know, you're talking about desire and manifesting, you know, through our energy and everything. What, you know, people are listening, they're like, oh man, I have these desires, but they're bad. You know, I can't, you know, bring them out. And you see that, and people, they're like, I can't succumb to my desires. That's a bad thing. And so, I mean, I guess, how do you work around that and help people realize, you know, it's not bad and it's actually beneficial for you to be that way?
Well, we have imprints, right, of what are like sure. right or wrong or bad or good, you know, that kind of thing. So when you really sit with it, it's like, ooh, I want to make more money. I want to have a different lifestyle, but ooh, that's so bad. I can't talk about that. I can't, because then I'm going to appear like I'm greedy. Well, first of all, you don't have to tell another soul what your desire is in order to create it. That's, you know, it's like you don't have to have everybody sure. in agreement with you to then go create it. You could be on your way to creating what you want without ever having to tell another person about it. But to reconcile it within yourself is really important, because if you feel like, I want this, but, then there's that split energy and you're not going to have that full flow of energy creating it. So right. where you feel that pull, that, ooh, this isn't bad. Like, why am I being so selfish, or why am I being so materialistic? That is understanding that comes from an imprint. That comes from a place that is not of literally the divine. The divine wants all of us. Our divine design is for all of us to thrive and to feel good, for all of us to have well-being, success, abundance. I mean, that's what's on the menu for us if we allow ourselves to go with it. And any place we've been imprinted where it's like we're being pulled by an anchor, you know, that's where we need to then release that. And that's what we talk about in the desire factor. What you asked me a question, and I wanted to answer this too. One of this book, all my books channeled through me. This book channeled in stages, which was interesting. And the first stage of this was, I was on a cruise ship I just come back from a day in Venice, Italy, with my mom and my dad, my husband and my two boys. And I had bought everybody, you know, I was flipped the bill for everybody to fly first class, to go over on this amazing Mediterranean cruise. And we spent the day in Venice in the morning. It was my dad's birthday. I had this amazing day eating croissants, cappuccino. There's a band singing happy birthday to my dad. It was an incredible day. And then they all went back on the cruise ship and my husband and I went shopping. And here I am on this cruise ship back from the day and I'm holding this Dolce & Gabbana purse. Now, I know a lot of your listeners are guys and they don't care or even know what Dolce & Gabbana is, right? But I'm just, it's a symbol.
I had a men's shirt like that. Dolce & Gabbana men's shirt at
so
one point.
Think of it as a golf club or think right. of it as a, you know, I don't care. But, you know, it's, for me, it was like, this was a Dolce. This purse represented something for me. And I thought back to years before I had kids with this man. He was just my boyfriend at the time. We had gone on a 2-week trip again with my parents. We went to Venice for 3 days. And when I went to Venice, I'm a big fashion girl. I was like fashion, like Shangri-La. It was, I felt like a hummingbird going from one place to another, from Dolce & Gabbana to Fendi to, you know, like Chanel right. and, you know, all these Prada. I mean, it went on and on. And my boyfriend at the time, now husband, he goes, I don't think I can afford you. And because he saw my taste and I go, you don't have to afford me. All afford me. And in that moment, I made a declaration. I said, someday we're going to come back to Venice and I'm going to go into any store that I want and I'm going to buy whatever I want. What you don't know is that I had just started my coaching business. I had been coaching for 5 years. I've been in corporate America. You know, I was a sales training manager of a biotech company, left it all to go full time in my coaching business. So this was that time where to spend anything on a purse would be ludicrous because I'm building my business, right? It wouldn't make right. any sense. So I made that declaration. I'm going to come back here someday and I'm going to buy whatever I want because as a like symbol of my success, right? So here I am on a cruise ship, 5-star cruise ship. I'm in the suite. Parents are in down the hall for five, you know, first class, everything. I'm holding this Dolce & Gabbana bag, which there was a lot of other things that was much more expensive. But this is like a symbol of my success, of who I became. I created a multi-million dollar business within a very short period of time. I became a 2-time New York Times bestselling author, certified 3,000 life coaches, like had done all these things and all these accomplishments. And this is like my symbol of good for you, girl, right? You did what you said you were going to do. You made it, right?
Yeah.
And then I hear the voice say, that is so materialistic. And I'm like, who said that? Where did that voice come from?
Yeah.
And it was my sister's voice saying like, that's not okay. Because my sister was always like, you and your little fashion stuff, you're so materialistic, right? So here it was like this moment of like great accomplishment and that voice telling me that's not okay to have that or enjoy that was something I needed to let go of because that was an imprint that was not of divine truth.
That's interesting because I think as we get more and more successful, as we get more and more accomplished or things, we hear that, whether it was stuff that was imprinted on us when we were younger, family members, whoever it may be, friends growing up, and that gets imprinted. We may not realize that it directly affects us at that point in time, but as you mentioned, it now it's coming back. It's, hey, you don't need that. You don't have to have that. It's and it's pulling you back away, I think, from your success.
Yes. We want to continue to expand our success in all areas, you know, and anytime we feel that was a sabotaging voice in that moment, I'm feeling all this abundance and all this joy to then go, you know, and for me, it was like, wait, I have enough processes, tools, information to know that that's not me. Where'd that come from? How do I release that and let go so I can be back in that joy moment? So I can create more success as I get off this cruise ship, right? Sure. So I'm not limiting myself because now I'm a bad person because I'm judging myself because I shouldn't want that. Yeah.
And so then, you know, if you get in that moment and it's like, what's the best way to release, to let it go, to be able to then recapture, you know, where you want to be?
So think of everything as energy. And that thought for me sure. was lower level energy. It was based in lack. Right. And so I had to then bring in a thought that would literally transmute that lower level thought, right? So for me in that moment, it's like, this is all energy. This is all good. This is a symbol of my success. And that those thoughts created a bigger feeling sense for me than that other thought. And it was like that thought was transmuted. It was released because I replaced it. If we have time, I'll give you a quick example of what I did one time. I was getting a massage one day, and all of a sudden I had this overwhelming feeling of anxiety that came over me. And what I know to be anxiety is an over amplification of an emotion such as fear that hasn't been expressed. So I realized, okay, I'm feeling anxiety here. What's this about? I'm getting a massage. What's underneath the anxiety was fear. And it was like me just talking to that fear. Okay, what are you trying to tell me? And what I now, what I understand too, when I teach, obviously, is any negative emotion comes from lack. So if I'm feeling this fear, what's the thought of lack that's creating the fear that then created the anxiety? And the voice in my head said, you've used it all up. And I used what all up? I'm like talking to myself, right? I sound like Sybil. But it's like, I've used what all up? Your success. There was a belief in me that we only have a pie, like a limited amount. And because I had been so successful that I'm done. Like I've got all the success that I could ever have forevermore. And there was that limited part of me that believed that. And I had to literally talk to that part and go, I'm in abundance. I have a bakery. I can make as many pies as I want, right? It's like, it's not over for me. It never ends. It's not limited like that. So the energy that had to transmute that lower part, I was able to bring in the energy of abundance, the thoughts, the perspective, you know, all of that. And I've never thought about that again, or it never has dragged me down, or because it got transmuted. It's like, you know, when you have chocolate milk, when you have milk and you put chocolate in there and you stir it up, like it's no longer just white milk. It's now chocolate milk. And so it's the same thing with energy. It's like you want to transmute the higher energy, the lower energy with the higher energy.
No, I think that's super important. And I mean, regardless of what we're dealing with, we're always experiencing both of those different energies, and so it's just what we choose to look at or to pay attention to. And if we're paying attention to that lower energy, we're going to get more of that. And if we're paying attention to that higher energy, we're going to attract or get more of that as well. Man, I hope you guys are really loving this episode of Making Bank. Tons of amazing information. And guys, if you're a small business entrepreneur, then this is for you. Obviously, you know, running a business is challenging. You have endless to-do lists, employees to take care of. Everybody wants your attention. And obviously, your bottom line, your profit. So first of all, kudos to you for staying on top of it, pushing through those challenges, and just really focusing on taking care of your employees and your customers. And I want to tell you about Gusto. Gusto built an easier and more affordable way to manage payroll, benefits, and more. They've helped over hundreds of thousands of businesses, even ours. Our business as well uses Gusto with tasks like automated payroll tax, filing simple direct deposits, free health insurance administration, 401ks, and cool onboarding tools. And you just name it, they got it. Gusto made it very easy. And they really care about the small business owners, the entrepreneurs like you that they work with. Their support team is attentive and very helpful. They help get us up and running smoothly and easily. And since money can be tight right now, you'll even get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Check out Gusto. Just go to Gusto, GUSTO.com/makingbank and start setting up your business today. You'll see what I mean when I say easy, guys. 90% of the customers that switch to Gusto say it was very easy. And 85% of the customers running payroll, it's now even easier than their previous company that they've worked with. So again, guys, I'm super excited. They're giving you 3 months free of payroll at Gusto, GUSTO.com/makingbank.
One thing, I know I got a little bit of time left, is just kind of touch base a little bit. I know you talk about like the seven universal principles or the seven essential laws. How can we utilize that to, improve our overall desire factor, or that, you know, that
yeah.
Abundance, you know, within us?
Well, that's a great question. So I like to think of the seven essential laws. This is what I learned 25 years ago, and it literally shifted and changed everything in my life, from the type of men I was attracted to my health and my body, to, you know, my finances, to my career success, I mean, to everything. And I like to think of them as knowing the rules of the game. So for example, everybody knows that there's gravity, right? And sure. You and I haven't talked about gravity at all, but because we haven't talked about gravity, it's not like we went floating off into outer space. I mean, gravity is working whether we're talking about it or not. It's a universal principle, you know, grounded in reality on Earth plane, right? Well, there are other universal principles, and it's like knowing the rules of the game. It's kind of like, how successful would you be if you've never seen the game of baseball, and your buddy says, come on, Josh, we're going to go play baseball. And you're like, yeah, but I don't know how to play. And he's like, it's real easy. That guy in the mount's going to, you know, pitch you the ball, and all you have to do is hit it. And then you hit the ball and you're like, no. And everybody's like, run, right? So you won't go running to third base. I mean, you're going to be out. Right? So doesn't it make sense before you play a game that you know the rules? Yeah. You know, and it's for like, sure. These are like knowing the rules of the game of life, that everything is energy and all energy carries a vibration. And that vibration is communication that goes out to the universe to collect more people, places, things, experiences, that, you know, things are not just randomly being asserted into our experience, that we are literally attracting everything by the vibration that we are holding, and that we have free will and we can choose deliberately what kind of vibe we want to give off. And when we do that, the results in our environment change. One of those universal principles and laws is the law of sufficiency and abundance that we talked about in the beginning. So knowing about these is absolutely essential if you want to master your life.
No, that's great. And then having, obviously, the abundance is, you know, super important. Instead of focusing on lack and what you don't have, what are, you know, I guess some of the other, you know, what's one or two other ones that are really important, you think, right now too?
Yeah. So, I mean, law of attraction is one that a lot of people know about because of the movie The Secret, you know, when that came out about 15 years ago. So that's one of them. The law of deliberate creation is that, you know, whenever something happens as a stimulus in our environment and we react to it, we're sending out a signal. It's like everything is energy. We are energy receivers. We're also energy transmitters. We transmit by what we talked about before. Words that we say transmit energy. Thoughts, the perspectives, the emotions, actions, these are all ways that we give off energy, right? We send out energy. And when we are deliberately choosing, I'm not going to be in lack, I'm going to be in abundance, now we're processing and working with the law of deliberate creation.
No, I think that's awesome. Where can people get the book at? What's the best place to, you know, send them?
Oh, absolutely. So thedesirefactor.com is like the hub, but I mean, you can go to Amazon, Barnes and Noble, any local bookstore. It's everywhere. So Target, Walmart, they're everywhere.
That's great. As we're talking and everything here, and you're like, oh man, I'm hoping Josh is going to ask me this, but he hasn't asked me this yet. What's one like last thing you want to really share or just connect or get out there to everyone?
That, you know, life is full of contrast, right? We're in a experience where there's polarity. That's another one of the laws, where there's, you know, if there's up, there's down, if there's left, there's right, there's in, there's out. We're always going to have some kind of polarity and some type of contrast. And that's the beauty of it, is that when you have some kind of contrast, meaning something you don't want in your experience, the opposite of that is not only a possibility, but it already exists. And if we can shift the energy from the lack into the abundance or the fulfillment of what we want, whether it's more money, more, you know, more love, more success, whatever it is, that possibility is not only a possibility, it's an inevitability. And if you shift, then shift in your energy and your mindset and what you say, like we talked about with Watch Your Words, then you're going to find that your life is reflecting something very, very different to you.
No, I think that's so important, with that. And one last thing, too, it just kind of had popped into my head. You were talking about, in that kind of, I don't know why that triggered it for me, but you were talking about, like, earlier about desires and, you know, and how to utilize them and everything. what's kind of the common obstacles or something that just may be blocking us, you know, from receiving those or seeing what those are? And like, I guess, how do we work or get through that?
Okay, so whenever we have a desire, no matter what it is, the three common obstacles is us. We talked about that, right? We talk ourselves out of it. Oh, who am I to do that? That's impossible. Too many people are doing it, right? So we're number one. Number two is other people. We might be jazzed, excited, over on the moon about something, and people that we care about are like, are you sure you're not old enough? Or are you sure you're too old? Or that's kind of risky. Or do you want to, you know, what if you get hurt, right? I mean, we could say, I'm going to go hike the Grand Canyon. And then the person, like, it could be our parents or, you know, in-laws or whomever, our wife or our husband could say, that's not a good idea. You're not in that great of shape. Do you think hiking the Grand Canyon is a good idea? So other people, if we allow their concerns and their negativity and their whatever to come into our desire, then we can be influenced out. We talk ourselves out of them. Out of our desires. And then the third is not knowing how, right? And that's really what the desire factor is all about, is to teach people how. Like, it's the how on how you manifest your desires. But there's always our mind wants to figure out the how. And a lot of times we don't need to figure that out. It's more of a co-creation with the one that gave you that desire. And the how literally just, it shows itself. You just have to take the steps, taking action. It's one of the principles. With the fullness of yourself, with the dedication and commitment into that action, and then it builds on each other.
No, that's awesome. I think that's super important, because I think as people are listening, they're like, oh, you know, I have these, but then they talk themselves out of it. Or like you said, you get the other people like, oh, you know, they're entrepreneurs and like, oh, you know, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, take my business to the next level by doing X, Y, and Z. And they're like, oh, no, that's not going to work for you. Yeah. I've seen too many people. It didn't work. And, you know, I think that's important to know that, you know, how do we get past that? How do we get through that? And, you know, and helping people move forward and be the best of themselves. So, Christy, super awesome. Such an honor to have you on Making Bank today and share your information. Guys, I hope you guys were taking notes, really listening to what Christy's had to say. Go back, listen, watch this again, and then take those notes and then take action. You know, take those steps to start moving yourself forward, as well as grab a copy, you know, of her book, The Desire Factor. Like she said, on Amazon or right from the website link below. And, you know, and then just figure out a way to be the best person that you can be, in your family, in your business, and everything. So again, Christy, thank you for coming on Making Bank, and definitely an honor to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Josh.
I am Josh Felbert. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.